Hey, Cass!
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm okay, too.
I'm better after this fine cocktail you made.
It's a riff on a different cocktail that was made for the astronauts after they came home from landing on the moon.
Really?
The original cocktail was called Moonwalk, but I didn't have any rose water. So I'm going to rename this the Moonwalker. So there's a differentiation.
Okay.
But it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Grapefruit, Grand Marnier, but I used Contrenol and some sparkling rosé wine. It's delicious.
It's really nice.
Very subtle. Just like our last drink we had was very subtle.
You make some really good drinks, Cass. I'm telling you. Just a little cocktail. No.
And this one's not gin based. Are you proud of me? Oh, we forgot to cheers, though.
I'm always proud of
cheers.
You. I'm always proud of you, but sometimes more impressed than others.
Oh, gosh.
Always impressed.
Oh, gosh.
But sometimes more than others.
So,
I better stop. Put the shovel away, girl.
You're going to make me shut down completely.
No.
Yes, one compliment per hour only, please.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
So, we took a break last week because my brain was overloaded. And then when it was time to think of ideas for this week, I had 56 or 69 or 42 ideas. Because all I needed was a week off to let the sponge get wet again with ideas.
Right.
My
head
sponge.
Sometimes you got to wring it out and then let it just soak up the stuff.
So out of all of my, and I, when I send ideas to Kim, when we send ideas to each other, there are usually like several that are like joke ideas.
Maybe. I honestly, I'm never quite sure.
But I took one of the joke ideas, and that's what we're actually doing the show about this week. Are you going to read the list?
Which was really interesting. Well, may I? Because it was really funny. So Cass sends this list, and I start reading it real slow, and then thinking about each one of them, and I could not do that, so I had to, like, read them fast. Here we go. Here are some of my ideas, she texts. Tactics to stop complaining, which I thought was interesting. All of them, actually. Adventure? Nobody showed up to White Lives Matter rallies? Why Elton John says in the song Rocket Man, and all this science I don't understand. It's just my job 5 days a week. Which I read like four times and was like, what? Updates on voting restriction bills across the country. Lemon desserts.
My fave.
Hummingbirds.
Yep.
Hands in art.
That could be a good one.
That one sent me spinning into oblivion.
I mean, everything. We'll do that one. That's a good one I want to do.
When we were at the Uffizi, at some point, because I took way too many pictures, but at some point, I decided I was only going to focus on hands. I have a buttload of pictures of hands from the Uffizi. And some of them are absolutely magnificent.
Yeah.
Like, I'll go back and just stare at this one close-up of a hand. I don't know who the artist is. I don't know what the picture is. It's a hand. But it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the last thing on the list was the life of Toulouse-Lautrec.
Yeah.
Was that the last thing?
Yep.
That
was a good memory.
And tonight we've chosen to try and figure out what Elton John meant by all the science I don't understand. It's just my job 5 days a week. Which led me into a vast and deep mine of rabbit holes about space songs.
Yes. Me too. Me too. Oh.
So I have a list of space songs. I'm not going to talk about them. Just there's just a list, just a random list.
Okay.
Of course, Rocket Man.
Rocket Man.
Inspired by a Ray Bradbury short story. Space Oddity, Starman, Life on Mars, Ziggy Stardust, and The Spiders from Mars, and many more by Bowie. He has very many songs about space and spacemen. Major Tom by Peter Schilling. Walking on the Moon by the Police.
Yes.
Intergalactic, the Beastie Boys.
Right? I forgot about that one until I saw it, and I was like, ah!
Supersonic Rocket Ship by the Kinks. One of my favorite. Remember when we did our top five favorite songs?
Yeah.
This next one was on my top five. Space Song by Beach House.
Oh.
Such a good song. Yes. You guys check it out.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Across the Universe by the Beatles. Space Junk, Devo. Fly Me to the Moon, Sinatra.
Yes.
The Galaxy Song by Monty Python and Harry Nilsson's Spaceman. Which apparently I didn't realize, and I watched a few episodes, but it's in the series Space Force with Steve Carell.
Oh.
Yeah, so that song has had a sort of rebirth because of the series lately.
Oh.
But it ties in with the Elton John and the David Bowie space songs, which we can get into later. But
very interesting.
And that was just a small portion of space songs that I found and remembered.
Space Cowboy.
Oh.
Right?
Some people call... That's not called Space Cowboy, though, is it?
No, it's still... What's his name?
What? Hoobity Wubbity.
Oh, my God.
Steve Miller?
Steve Miller.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't remember that. That's your brother-in-law's name.
That's my brother-in-law's
name. Duh. Yeah, it's a Steve Miller song.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a space cowboy.
So he put
bet
that...
Bet you weren't ready for that.
He put Space Cowboy in the other song that's so popular by him.
Oh.
Some people call me a space cowboy.
Right.
Some call me the gangster of love. Remember that one?
Yes.
So I thought it might be entertaining to drink a drink, a space-inspired drink, and then talk about the song Rocket Man and other space songs.
There's lots of them out there.
And what was going on at the time and why I think there was a proliferation of space-inspired songs. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll get into all of that. Lines I can't understand. You're hanging over the edge.
I looked up
thinking Did you listen to it?
It was going to be like the Dylan song.
No.
No. No.
No, no.
No, 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 no. Nope.
Radiohead's imagery about otherness, alienness, reminds me of Bowie's imagery of otherness and alienness. And that it's just quirky enough to maybe not be so obvious, but it's very corny at times.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Right on.
I love both of them. I know you don't like Radiohead, but...
I don't really know Radiohead.
Does anyone really know Radiohead?
I'm not familiar with Radiohead. I think we... I've known people who have been very, 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 very into Radiohead in almost an evangelical way.
Yeah.
So that's... I tend to push back on that kind of stuff.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't.
I can't.
I'm not a joiner by nature.
I know you're not.
No!
No! There was also the Bowie movie, The Man Who Fell to Earth. Did you ever see that movie?
No.
Oh my God. It's both beautiful and odd and quirky, just like Bowie was. He's an alien that comes to Earth because his planet is they're out of water. So he's looking for a way to transport Earth's water to his planet. But in becoming sort of a human, he gets caught up in humanness and forgets his mission and drinks and does drugs and has sex. And
he loses himself.
He loses his alienness and he sort of becomes a human.
Oh, does it end okay?
I think it ends with him, like, walking around with a fashionable outfit and fedora on or something. I don't remember exactly, but I remember watching it going, It's one of those, like, older, like, kind of B-movie, indie kind of films that mm-hmm. are so weird, you just keep watching.
Right. You've got to kind of digest it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's just gorgeous in it. He's, like, at his height of, of beautifulness.
We have a giant papier-mâché David Bowie out in front of the gallery.
What? Why? What's happening?
Because it was for the Scarecrow Festival. Oh. And everyone loved it so much, we've left it there, and
it's become part of the scenery?
It's really cool. Like, the director, at one point, she's like, I think we need to get rid of David. And everybody was like, no. Still, people will come and take their picture with him. Like, he's been up there since freaking September.
Why don't you guys just, like, clear coat him so he's safe?
His head and his face are clear coated, but his outfit isn't. Uh-huh. His outfit's made out of roofing paper.
Oh.
And I don't know that it would clear coat very well, but it's quite striking.
That's amazing.
He's in his striped suit.
Oh.
The red shoes. Everybody loves him.
All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
So, this song came out in like 70 something or other.
Wait.
Yes,
time out.
Go.
What inspired you to think about this at all in the first place?
I was just getting to that.
Okay, sorry.
So my parents were big Elton John fans, and they had all of his records, and I used to sit and look at the records. They were like fine art to me.
Right.
Like, I can tell you what yeah. every record cover looked like. This song always confused me because of that line. All this science, I don't understand. It's just my job 5 days a week. So the other day I had gone to the post office. It was on a day that my friend Kelly and I were doing this experiment where we were going to pay attention to our thoughts and write down any complaints. Like verbal out. That's why I said the thing
the
about
complaining
the complaints.
Thing. Okay.
So, you know, complaints in your head or outward complaints and what it feels like. And so it was just this experiment to kind of be mindful of complaining. Mm-hmm. And the song came on the radio and I'm listening to it and I'm singing along and every single time I hear the song, when it gets to that line, I'm like, that's stupid. If that's your job, you know what it is. But that's not what was intended.
Right.
And I never knew that.
Right. All this time you've been carrying that around. And now, because of your experiment, you're going to be able to release it.
I'm going to be able to release it and be done with being mad at Bernie Taupin or Taupin or whatever, however the hell you say his name.
How funny, like, that the experiment had a totally unintended consequence that has been haunting you since you were a little kid.
Since I can remember being alive. Thank you very much, Elton John.
Oh, I love it when that stuff happens. It's so cool.
So do you know why? Why he says that?
Because he's the spaceman. He's just the guy that goes into space. He's not the scientist.
Right. The song was inspired by Ray Bradbury's short story where guys who are astronauts are just like any other guys. They're like truck drivers or milk delivery guys or construction workers.
Right. They're the messenger.
So this song that I thought was so simple and like had things wrong about space, how important space was
right.
really like a telling of the future of what space travel could become, how normal and blasé it might become.
Right. Just regular stuff.
I don't know if I'm relieved or not. I liked being mad at this song, even though I love this song.
That's interesting, too.
Yep.
Because you had a relationship with it. You had an emotional relationship with that lyric in the song.
Right.
And now that's been challenged.
Which the experiment that Kelly and I were doing challenged other things wherein both of us realized that a lot of our complaints, either in our head or outward complaints, have to do with our judgments about other people.
Oh, yeah. That's always it. At least that's what I've learned. Like,
sometimes for me, a lot of it is like my body isn't working the way I think it should. Again, maybe a judgment about my body, but
it's a value judgment about your ideal. It's like, this is not what I expect or want.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it's your body or Joe Shit the Rag Man who's driving 25 miles an hour in front of you on the street. Stop, Kim.
Kim, calm down. Road rage.
The value judgments. I've done that before. Like, how many value judgments are you making today? Think about it. Like, pay attention. And it's embarrassing.
It is. It's you can't control. Like, I was telling them, a Dave Matthews song came on the radio while I was outside working. And I got mad about it. Like, I think I exclaimed, like, why? And I wrote that down. That was one of the things I wrote down. And when I read it back later, I was like, oh, that's just, like, sad
that
and funny.
That is dumb, right? Yeah, like, who cares?
That's all right, really let's talk about Rocket Man, though, because I'm really excited. I'm going to read you these lyrics, peoples.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Ready.
So apparently Bernie Taupin, is that how you pronounce his name? He's Elton John's writing partner.
I'm never good with names, so I'm going to say yes, that's absolutely correct.
He got inspired to write this song. The rumor is that he and Harry Nilsson, who wrote the Spaceman song, had a bet to see who could write a hit song about space first. The jab is that David Bowie had already done it like 3 years prior, and he was pissed. His wife at the time says that he was really upset that Elton John had this hit because he was the guy who sang about space.
Oh, not Elton John.
Not Elton John. All right, Rocket Man. She packed my bags last night pre-flight, which also bothered me as a child. But if you think about it, if this is just a normal job, it's like a wife packing her husband's lunch for work.
I have issue with that, but yes.
I do too. But at the time, in the 70s, the early 70s, that's something that happened. 0 hour, 9 a.m., and I'm going to be high as a kite by then. Which apparently had nothing to do with drugs. I miss the Earth so much, I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space on such a timeless flight. And then it goes into the chorus. I think it's going to be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no. I'm a rocket man. I feel like I'm William Shatner right now doing spoken word jazz.
Do it.
Rocket man. Burning out his fuse up there. Alone. And that repeats. Mars ain't the kind of place to raise your kids. Which is another line that when I was little was like, no one's trying to raise kids on Mars. What is he talking about? In fact, it's cold as hell, and there's no one there to raise them if you did. And all this science, I don't understand. It's just my job 5 days a week. A rocket man, a rocket man. And then it repeats and repeats, and I think it's going to be a long, long time, a long, long time, long, long time, a long, long time. So, that led me into all the other space songs of the same era, not the more recent ones, but of the same era, because the space program had a lot of disasters. Mm-hmm. Apollo 1 had a fire, and I watched a documentary on this just a few days ago. Apollo 1 had a fire during a test for liftoff, like 3 days before scheduled liftoff, and the three astronauts died. And this was before anybody ever made it to the moon. This was Apollo 1. And my thought was that these songs, because they have a lot to do with like, tell my wife I love her, or tell my wife I miss her, or whatever it is, I feel like it was like a kind of anxiety that was manifesting in our pop culture, in our art, around space travel and what it meant for the human experience. Mm-hmm. Like kids on the schoolyard singing songs about Ring Around the Rosie or whatever. The things that they're trying to work out that maybe they don't feel comfortable talking about with words, they can put to song and try to process these big ideas. So I'm thinking that time, that late 60s, early 70s, there were a lot of songs about space and getting lost in space and it taking a long time and am I going to come back down, tell my wife I love her kind of things.
It was a new destination. And in a world where, and in our national identity, where we go to new lands and we conquer shit and we are adventurers and we're fearless and we go into the wilderness and we forge new communities and you know, we're travelers. I mean, all of our people came from Europe. We came here to America not knowing what it was going to bring, how many people died then. It was also during a time of great social upheaval.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. So we were navigating as a nation a lot of unknowns. So, yeah, maybe it's just kind of a byproduct of that anxiety. Like, we're standing on the precipice of God only knows what. We're going into fucking space. We're going into space. Oh, hey, we're gonna go into space. Like, that's a big fucking deal.
Especially if you think about the time frame from when, you know, the Wright brothers are flying.
Right.
For a mile. To space. That was less than 60 years. I mean, satellites were going up in the 50s.
Freaking mind-blowing, isn't it?
That, I saw a photographic exhibit once at the Autry Museum about flight. And it started with those first early biplanes or whatever they were, you know, mm-hmm. flying. And then a few years later, it was aerial photography from a hot air balloon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it was literally like 40 years later, 50 years later, a picture of Earth from the moon. So that trajectory is so rapid. It's kind of like now with like cell phones and screens. You know, when we were younger, you didn't have a screen in front of you all the time. And now there is, and there's all this knowledge right in your hand, and everybody's feeling overwhelmed and has anxiety, and
right,
it's
yeah.
too much. I got to put my phone down. I feel like it's that same feeling, like, we're going too fast. We're going too fast.
Right. I'm not ready for this. We're not ready for this.
Hmm.
Also, in the 50s, when these artists were coming up, there was a huge pop culture focus on space.
You know,
Ray Bradbury, War of the Worlds. Like,
right.
You know, so the 1950s were fascinating in that way. There was a lot of alien stuff going on in pop culture and TV shows. My brother was totally into space when he was little.
Yeah.
It was like his thing, you know. So it's a really fascinating juncture in our identity, I think, yeah. as a nation.
The other interesting thing I've thought about for the past couple months, my dad was obsessed with like alien abductions and alien sightings, and he had like sound effects of alien spaceships and War of the Worlds. We had it on cassette tape and we'd listen to, like, he was obsessed with that. And I can remember as a child seeing like documentaries and recreations and stuff of alien abductions all the time in the 70s and early 80s. That just doesn't happen anymore. Nobody's
it's not in the
It used to be a thing. It was almost like a virus. It was contagious. Like, you know, everybody had an alien abduction story.
God, I was reading about that recently. Like, there's an uptick in alien sightings.
Now?
When this is like a, there's a rhythm to it.
Oh, okay.
So
go
it's
ahead.
Like, whenever things start to feel really sketchy down here on Earth, people are anxious about whatever, there's something going on, there's an uptick in alien sightings.
Huh.
For whatever reason. And I have no idea why.
I wonder if it has anything to do with, like, ancient civilizations and their gods, you know? Like, the god of this, the god of that. We've Maybe. Been, this, our culture has been relegated to, like, one god. Maybe humans need other fake things to explain their existence. I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but, like,
well, and then there's the theory that, you know, aliens were, they were the ones that just dropped us here.
Like, they seeded us.
They
yeah.
seeded us here. And there's, you know, there's some interesting stuff out there. There's some hieroglyphs out there that don't make sense. Like, you're like, what the fuck is that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they found weird things in weird places. And you think about the placement of all the pyramids throughout the world and other technologies that nobody can explain yet, which always kind of freaks me out. Like, we can look inside a mummified you know, a sarcophagus and look at a mummy with x-rays and whatever else, and we've got all this DNA technology mm-hmm. and but we can't figure out how the fuck they got the stones to Stonehenge, like
right,
or how they built the pyramids, or, you know, there are those that structure, I think it's in South America, where all of the stones have been cut so precisely, like
they don't have mortar or anything. Yeah,
no mortar, it all sticks together, and it's like, well, we can't do that in modern times. How the fuck did they do it? But who knows? I mean,
well, also in modern times, we want everything to be fast and done for us and convenient and efficient and easy.
Right.
And I mean, you've been to Italy. You've seen the craftsmanship on a church that maybe took 300 years to build.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, maybe people just took more time to do things back then.
Well, yeah, like the pyramids, you know, that was a multi-generational
right.
endeavor. So, who knows? It's nice to have mysteries.
It is.
It's nice to wonder, you know. I don't want all the answers. That's boring. I want all the answers to some things, but not everything. I'm content not knowing and, you know, being creative and trying to make up reasons why or how.
I'm just really curious about, like, not mass delusion, that's the wrong word, but, like, movements in society where things like this happen, where, like, all the songs are about space, or people are having alien abduction stories, or right now, this, you know, all the conspiracy theories that are happening right now. Like, I'm so curious. I think because I don't want to be fooled by something, or I don't want to not know something and then be proven wrong later, or, you know?
Right.
Like, yeah. I'm so curious. I would rather know than not know, is what I'm trying to say.
About why? Why these things happen.
Yeah, all of it. Facts, why, feelings, all of it. Give me all the information.
Humans are fascinating, unpredictable creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there is some science to how ideas travel and how movements happen and stuff. But I've never heard an explanation for why, like, you know, all the impressionists somehow all came together.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, this has happened throughout history over
and
over.
Or the Beats came together.
Or the Beats, or, you know, the whole hippie scene that happened.
Or Cyndi Lauper and all of her wrestler friends, you know?
Right. No, who knows about that, for sure.
For sure.
But it is kind of interesting. It's almost like an idea gets into the ether and goes.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Oh, another David Bowie film. He was in that film. He played Tesla. What was it called? It was about a magician. Oh, it's very fascinating. He played Tesla in a movie. That's what I'm trying to say. I love David Bowie, if you guys haven't figured it out. My dog is named Ziggy Stardust.
David Bowie was, yeah.
Way ahead of his time.
A lot, yeah. Big time.
I still, when I think about the day he died, I still, my feelings come back almost just as strong.
Yeah.
Just this like, no, God. He had so many ideas about things, like everything, fashion, technology, music, acting, like.
He had no constraints.
No.
He was, yeah.
He was an alien.
Maybe he was. Wouldn't that just be fucking crazy if we find out there's a bunch of aliens hanging out here?
Uh-oh. Dun, this is dun, how conspiracy theories get spread.
And the Earth is flat.
What's your favorite song about space?
Oh, boy.
Do the Grateful Dead have any songs about space?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's Dark Star.
Dark Star, duh.
Which is like, okay, so. All right, so there was a professor at University of Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
Who compiled what they called the annotated Grateful Dead lyric catalog.
Oh, wow.
There were classes you could take at UC Santa Cruz. Deconstructing songs, lyrics throughout the whole library of songs. There were classes you could take. And so there is this, it's called, it's just called the Grateful Dead Archive, I guess. And so you type in a song and the lyrics come up. And at one point people could chime in. And I mean,
like a Wikipedia type of thing?
Yeah, kind of like a Wikipedia. But these people were, I'm reading these articles, I'm like, who the fuck are you? Like a professor of theology or something? Like, these aren't just like, yeah, man, I think Dark Star's about taking too much acid and then looking at the sky, but it's really not the sky. It's a pool, you know, it's heavy duty stuff.
Right.
So I looked up Dark Star and I got like two articles into it. I was like, fuck this shit. I can't even do this.
What's the overriding theme, do you think?
For Dark Star?
Yeah.
Who knows? And that's the funny thing. Like, they'd interview Robert Hunter. He was the lyricist for most of Jerry's songs and Jerry. And they'd both be like, yeah, I don't know. Like, it's about whatever you want it to be about.
I mean, that's how inspiration is a lot of times.
But they did... somebody did ask Jerry specifically about Dark Star and how, you know, what it meant and what it was like playing it and everything. And he said, in a nutshell, he said, Dark Star is an experience. It's not a song.
Right.
And it has a different meaning to me every single time I play it. Every single time I play it, there's something different that I take away from it.
Oh, wow.
And it's just an experience. You have to figure it out.
I mean, that's just humanity in a nutshell right there. Everybody's experience is their own.
Yeah.
And it's different from moment to moment. As you get older, as you learn more, as you are in love or not in love or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, that perfectly encapsulates the experience of humanness.
Right.
Thanks, Jerry.
Jerry was awesome. They also had another song... Standing on the Moon, which was, it's a really pretty song. It was one of their newer ones. And it was, when I read the lyrics to this, and I know the lyrics by heart, you know what I mean? Like, I know all these songs, but again, I'll sit down reading, okay, we're talking about space.
Right.
I'm going to read this song. And then I was like, oh, I get it now. Or I get it now. Next time I'll get it a different way.
Right.
So my idea was that space, all these space songs, the recurring theme is loneliness, isolation.
Yeah.
And
it's going to be a long, long time.
It's going to be a long, long time.
Or Dark Side of the Moon, for God's sakes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Except the songs from the B-52s about space, I doubt they're about loneliness. They're probably, like,
I don't think the B-52s have loneliness in their dictionary.
No.
No.
It's about, like, dancing and...
having fun.
Fun and
seeing fuzzy pink things and sparkly, happy. Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I thought isolation, adventure, uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just also coming to terms with the idea that you might die.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go do this, and I might not come home.
Mm-hmm.
I might go do this, and I might die. Alone. Alone.
That song from the 80s, Major Tom, I read the lyrics, and which apparently is a retelling of Space Oddity by Bowie. He was so inspired by that one that he decided he'd write his own, but... standing there alone, the ship is waiting. All systems go. Are you sure? Control is not convinced, but the computer has the evidence. No need to abort. Countdown starts. We've all heard this one.
Mm-hmm. Earth below us.
Yeah.
Drifting.
Back at ground control, there is a problem. Go to rockets full, not responding. Hello, Major Tom, are you receiving? Turn the thrusters on. We're standing by. There's no reply. 4, 3, 2, 1, Earth below us, blah, blah, blah. Across the stratosphere, a final message. Give my wife my love, then nothing more.
Mm-hmm.
Far beneath the ship, the world is mourning. They don't realize he's alive. No one understands, but Major Tom sees. Now the light commands. This is my home. I'm coming home. So basically, there's some sort of miscommunication between him and Earth. They think he's dead. And he's coming home. But it's that theme, that loneliness, the uncertainty. And yeah. It is what a lot of these songs have in common.
Yeah.
They ain't love songs.
No. No. They're songs about fear, I think. In some way. Which is, you know, you don't really... I always think of art and music especially as... about emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Happiness, sadness. But there aren't too many songs that I can think of right now about fear.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough one to write about.
Mm-hmm. So maybe space travel gave these artists the parameters or the vocabulary to be able to talk about it without actually talking about it. Especially men. They have a really hard time talking about how afraid they are.
Right. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in the context of adventure.
Adventure, manly man in space, doing something difficult.
Brave. I mean, brave, but I'm shitting my fucking pants.
And I found it interesting that Rocket Man, Space Oddity, and Major Tom, all three mentioned the wife back home.
Mm-hmm.
Like a... I don't know. Someone there to mourn me. Make sure there's someone there to mourn me kind of thing.
Someone to remember me.
Yeah.
Someone who comforts me when I'm afraid.
Right. We've just cracked it!
I think we figured it out, Cass.
Space travel songs are about men's fear.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun. Any final thoughts, Kimmy?
The crystal ball looks kind of spacey to me. It also looks like it's smiling right now. Do you see it? Can you see it from your perspective?
I don't see the smile.
Oh, I see it.
I see some really cool lights, though.
Dude.
If it were the 1970s, I might think that was like an alien space egg or something.
Dude.
Dude.
Would you go to space if you had the opportunity?
I've thought about that recently as that opportunity seems to be in the near future for people.
Yeah, which is scary.
Because for a while I was afraid of flying on an airplane, but I got over that and I did a lot of work and hypnosis and meditation and training myself and just fucking doing it even though I was scared to get back on an airplane. And now I take airplanes all the time. And so my gut thought is like, fuck no, I'm not going to space. But then when I really stop and go, yeah, but how fucking cool would it be to look back and see the Earth? That might be more important to me than coddling my fears about doing something like that. I mean, it would depend. It probably won't be possible in my lifetime, but
I wouldn't bet on it.
I'm thinking that I would consider it. I'm at like 20% consideration.
Maybe if more people went before you, like if it was a proven, probably, you know, like people go and then they come back and they're like, look at this killer picture. Oh my God, it was so awesome. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, for the Instagram?
You have more.
You want me to go to space for Instagram?
No, just hearing other people's stories, their excitement. You know what I mean?
Like, well, I have watched a lot of space documentaries, and the one thing that all of the astronauts seem to say is something along the lines of, the first time you look out of the International Space Station or whatever, look out the window, back down at the Earth, you realize how silly wars are, how silly borders are. Like, we are all one people. And they all say that.
Perspective.
That's our Earth.
Right.
All together, not separated by fake boundaries.
Maybe that's the key to saving the planet.
Space travel?
Or maybe it's just smart people being smart and insightful.
Bang, bang, shoot 'em up, destiny. Bang, bang, shoot 'em up to the moon. Bang, bang, shoot 'em up, 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I wanted to be a spaceman. That's what I wanted to be. But now that I am a spaceman,
I'm a spaceman.
Nobody cares about me.
Did that say 26 minutes? 23 minutes.
Right, it's fun. funny. Like, the lyrics are just ridiculous. But Elton John, I mean, his voice, the musicianship, like...
It's a beautiful song.
It's a beautiful song.
And the lyrics are ridiculous.
And the lyrics are like, what?
But maybe they didn't sound ridiculous at the time.
Never paid attention that much before. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I was more into the music part.
Which I think is the case for a lot of Elton John songs. I get that their partnership is some sort of, you know, magical thing and everybody's like, yay, whatever. But I feel like the magic is Elton John.
Right. Yeah.
Because all this science I don't understand is just my job 5 days a week.
It's kind of like Lady Gaga in a way.
Right. Her music is really good.
Right.
Her voice is incredible.
Styling and the whole art part of Lady Gaga is exceptional.
Mm-hmm. But
my poker face.